petulant, petty, mean-spirited. These are words which might be used to describe a B-list celebrity who's just been thrown out of yet another dreadful reality TV program. Petulant, petty, mean-spirited might be words used, and used accurately, to describe the behavior of certain Premier League football managers when some foot soldier in the media scrum dares to ask a less than sycophantic question. Petulant, petty, mean-spirited might describe your previously charming and endearing and downright cute infant daughter or grandson or nephew or niece when their behavior finally oversteps a mark and you finally lose your patience and the promise of a nighttime story with hot chocolate and marshmallow bits is removed from the negotiating table of family life with decibel-shaking results. But petulant, petty, and mean-spirited aren't usually words we use to describe the behavior of Jesus. But in this strange incident of the cursing of a fig tree, Jesus seems to throw a wobbly. So what's going on? Generally speaking, we expect our messiahs, if we believe in such a concept, not to throw tantrums. And anyway, divine status doesn't sit comfortably with the vandalism of an innocent tree. So what's going on? I have to repeat, I've never preached on this incident before, probably because I've never known what to do with it. I'm still not sure if I know what to do with it. But let's see if, courtesy of the Holy Spirit, we get lucky. The setting is less than a week before Jesus' arrest and execution. The day before, according to Mark's Gospel, Jesus had entered Jerusalem to tumultuous applause. That night, he stayed outside the city in a place called Bethany. Next morning, they are returning to Jerusalem. Jesus is hungry, sees a fig tree. There's good reason to believe that he will find figs. Apparently, fig trees can produce crops, several crops, every year. However, this tree is an atheist tree, or an agnostic tree, or simply a tree that's having a very bad year, which is about to get worse. There is no fruit. And Jesus curses it for its uselessness. Now, a bit of honesty helps. Have you ever kicked your computer tower when it takes forever to warm up? Or slammed your keyboard down when a half-written message disappears off the screen? Or tossed a phone away when it goes dead mid-conversation? Or thumped your dashboard when the engine coughs itself to a halt? Silly, but perhaps understandable actions triggered by frustration. It's hard not to think in those terms. If nuns can swear, and believe me, they do, can the Messiah let rip at a tree? At a human level, we kind of understand that sort of behavior. But this is our Lord and Savior, and something in us hesitates. Surely this is not behavior becoming of a Messiah. Then another 24 hours pass in Mark's account between Jesus cursing the tree and Simon Peter noticing, we're on the same stretch of road the next day, that the tree is dead to its roots. Remember, all this is happening in the days prior to Jesus' arrest and execution. And it's hard not to sense a tremor of shock in Peter's comment. Look, teacher, the fig tree, the one you cursed, it's died. It's dead. In effect, he's saying, you did that. It's strange behavior. It's hard to categorize. It's all very well, apparently, if Jesus calms a storm or walks on water, but this is just a little bit worrying. If you're the savior of the world, are you allowed to have what looks like a temper tantrum? I have scrolled through loads of Christian websites, several of them quasi-learned and terribly pious, and they all explain terribly, terribly nicely that Jesus wasn't really having a tantrum, that he wasn't miffed simply because he couldn't pick up one of nature's early morning breakfast snacks. But some of those same websites just don't ring true because they sanitize everything. They are determined to squeeze every action of Jesus and every incident of Scripture into their pre-packed belief that every word and every action of Jesus is hallmarked with dignity and gravitas and significance. What if this morning we take a different approach? What if we embrace, so to speak, a little of the chaos? what if we dare to step out the safe playground of tidy orthodoxy and dare a few playful thoughts? What if, for a few minutes, we become the theological equivalent of the Bash Street Kids? And just see what happens with this strange story. For instance, if Jesus has had a strop, if he's simply peeved that the only fig tree in sight happens to be fruitless, does that take away his divinity? Or does it affirm his humanity? Is Jesus less divine because hunger has made him bad-tempered? We keep saying that the core message of the incarnation is that God has truly become one with us, embracing utterly our human condition in all its frailty and weakness. So, could Jesus, cursing the fig tree, be retitled like one of those clever retro Ladybird books, Jesus' Bad Day at the Office? And if it is a bad day at the office, might that not make it easier for you to talk to him honestly next time you have a bad day at the office? Because he's been there and done that. The second point, unconnected but interesting, is when you and I get miffed at the boss at work, or the computer, or the car, we don't curse it in such a way that it drops dead or it self-destructs. But Jesus' bad day at the office leads to the sudden demise of an otherwise innocent fig tree. So the question here, which I'm not even going to try to answer, who is this man who can still the stormy waves, heal the sick, and curse a tree to its roots? And there's just one other thought. Fairly extensive reading this past week on the life of fig trees has informed me that they can, in certain regions, bear multiple crops in the course of any year. It is not unreasonable to expect a fig tree to carry fruit for almost 10 months of a year. So Jesus, arriving and finding no fruit on the branches, a bit like you or me driving into a 24-hour petrol station to fill the tank and grab a sandwich only to find it closed, which is disappointing, annoying, and potentially very inconvenient. And so I found myself wondering if there is some kind of deeper message in this strange, quirky little incident which so shocked Peter. And we know it shocked Peter because Mark's gospel is Peter's retelling of his years with Jesus. So Peter must have said to Mark on a number of occasions, "Do you know, Mark, there was a day, there was a time when Jesus really lost the plot, and it was with a tree." I wonder if, just perhaps, there is a message here that even though certain fig trees can produce fruit 10 months a year, Jesus expects his church to produce fruit every month of every year. A church true to its master cannot have a closed season, an off season, a season of no fruit. It can, of course, have different seasons and different rhythms and times of busyness and celebration and times of reflection and preparation. But what it, the church, cannot be, what the church cannot do, is simply fill a space and think it has some kind of divine right to exist. If we're not being useful, we're not being the church. If we're not looking after our own and looking out to others, we are not being the church. Put it all in the context of Jesus' last days. Maybe, just maybe, there is actually a message in this strange little incident. And it's not really to do with anyone being petty, petulant, or mean-spirited. Not really. Because by the end of that week, maybe just 4 days later, Jesus was being nailed onto a cross, betrayed, denied, and left alone by his friends, mocked by the very crowds who cheered him earlier. And his response is, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." There is nothing petty, petulant, or mean-spirited in that amazing response. That is the immense love which draws us ever closer to Easter. A love we sometimes find it hard to fathom, but it is given freely to us, and yet also at a terrible cost to Jesus. As for the fig tree, maybe it just reminds us that uselessness invites disaster. As Christians, as a church, we are allowed to be many things, but uselessness cannot be one of them. So glory be to God the Father, to God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning and is now and ever shall be. Amen.